Right now, we have a Nelson story for North by Northwest. Anda Grace and I met a number of years ago when I went to Nelson for the first time. And Anda Grace is a librarian at the Library in Nelson. She also runs a magazine and has published a number of pictorial books about Nelson and the whole Kootenai region. Her latest book, though, is a novel. It's her first novel, and it's called Treading Water. And this is another of those cases where I remember talking to Anne a few years ago about some stories she was writing, working on, and now here it is. I'm holding it in my hands, the novel, Treading Water, from MacArthur and Company. I got a chance to talk to Anda Grace. She's on a bit of a book tour right now, and she was in Kelowna. So I had a chance to talk to her from the Kelowna studio, and I started by asking her to tell me again, I love this story, the story of how she met her agent and got signed up with the publisher for Treading Water. Here's Anda Grace.
Well, it's a good story, too, and I love telling it, and my agent, Morty Mint, loves hearing it, or loves me telling it, too, I think. Anyway, he hasn't got sick of it yet. It is small-town serendipity, and maybe it's partly because Nelson is the place that it is. It does attract pretty interesting people that just want to be part of it. I work at the Nelson Municipal Library, and I was standing behind the counter one day at a very rare moment when there weren't 20 million things to do. Well, there probably were, but there weren't people clamoring for my attention. So a fellow came up to the front desk, looking a bit like a rumpled suit, and he asked for the librarian. He meant the chief librarian. I thought he said a librarian, and so I kind of looked over my shoulders and said, "So what am I, you know, can I help you?" Which was the first bit of serendipity, because if I'd gone and gotten the chief librarian, the conversation never would have happened. And what ensued was that this tall, rumpled fellow asked me about, wanted to know about the literary community in Nelson, and because I've been involved for a very long time, I've been in Nelson for 25 years, I started to tell him about it, and after a while, he asked what my connection was to the literary community, and I said, well, it's interesting you should ask, because I have a manuscript, and I've just received a publishing offer on it. I'm not sure whether I should accept it or not. It wasn't really what I was hoping for, although I feel like I should be grateful, and in fact I was, but I hadn't been able to bring myself to sign it. And I asked him what his interest was, and he told me that, oh, I've got a publishing company with offices in New York and Toronto, and oh, I worked for Penguin for years, and I know all these people, and he's dropping names like Mordecai Richler and Timothy Findlay, and I'm thinking, oh yeah, right, across the counter at the Nelson Library, I don't think so. So he offered me his email address and his phone number, and said, if you know, I'd like someone to look over the contract, he'd be willing to give me some advice. And I thanked him, and the minute he was out the door, I Googled him. And he came up all over the internet, and he was president of Penguin Canada for many years, and worked for some major publishing houses, and so I called him right away.
Yeah.
And he looked over the contract and asked if he could see the manuscript, and read the manuscript and asked if I would like representation. And then I wasn't sure, because I had this offer. It's like I had a bird in the hand.
Right.
But I did.
On your first book.
On my first book. And I thought, when I signed with him, I thought, well, if nothing else, I can use lines like, I'm having lunch with my agent. I'll just check with my agent about that, But in fact, within a month, he had six major publishers looking
six.
At the book.
Wow.
That I wouldn't have even gotten past the threshold without him. And it's been just great.
I love that story.
I love that story, too. And the reason that my agent is, that Morty is in Nelson, is because he's got grandkids in the area. And of course, in this day and age, you can work from anywhere.
And now you're one of them.
I guess I am. And that feels really great, It really does. Yeah.
So why did you want to tell this story about, well, you call it Bear Creek in Treading Water, in your novel, but the story of Renata, where did that all begin for you, Anne?
Actually, it began in the Nelson Library, as many things apparently do.
Mm-hmm.
I was doing some archival data entry on books in our archival collection that had not been put into the computer yet. So one of the books I ran across was a book called The Story of Renata, and it actually should have been cataloged many years previously because most of the local history was, but it was a slim spiral-bound book that I think got missed. I can't be sure. And it was written by two women. And I flipped to the back of the book for reasons I, to this day, can't imagine. There's another bit of serendipity. And the little paragraph that I read, kind of an epilogue that these two authors, Mary Workington and Rose Roan, had written explaining that as they were writing the book, their neighbors were packing up and leaving. Smoke was drifting through the community because the houses were being burned as they were vacated. And looking around, she could see, you know, black X's on the sides of the houses that were due to be torched. And I thought, what an emotional thing that must have been to do. So I took that archival book home, which I was not supposed to do, but I have pull as a librarian, and I just read it over the weekend, and it was full of little anecdotes about this community, little short snippets of the things that had happened, the things people could remember, the kind of community mythology that evolves over time and over the building of a community. As well, there was listed every person who had ever been buried in the graveyard, which is now under a slab of concrete,
right,
and underwater for most of the year. Everyone who taught in the one-room schoolhouse, this kind of thing. And all I knew that all of those names had stories behind them. And I just was captured by this, and I wanted to tell those stories.
Now, of course, as you mentioned, Renata, or the original town site, it is underwater, under part of Lower Arrow Lake for most of the year because of the flooding for the dam. But it is possible at some point in the spring to actually go back and walk there, right?
Yes, and I did. I contacted a lot of people about the writing of this book, including Rose Roan, who is in her 90s and living in Castlegar, and her son Bruce, who were wonderful helps to me. Another was Wally Penner, who works for Columbia Power, and he had left when he was 12, I think, was when the dams came, and I could be not correct about that age, but he took an afternoon off for me, and I drove to Castlegar, and we got into his truck with the big boat hooked on the back, and we drove because Renata is boat access. Although there is a logging road into the back of it now, there never was before. Took the boat over, and he walked me through the community that was his boyhood home. He showed me the sledding hill they always sledded on, and I used that in the book, and you know, the big tree that was a landmark. And we, you know, I had a friend with me, my friend Jackie, visiting from Whitehorse, and we all, you know, wrapped our arms around the tree to see if we could actually touch fingers, and we barely could. It was a wonderful day.
Nelson author Anne DeGrace talking about story behind the book, Treading Water. It's her new novel, published by MacArthur and Company. And as we were saying, it traces the history of Bear Creek, the fictional community of Bear Creek, which is based on Renata in British Columbia. And I started asking Anne about some of the characters in the book, some of the characters who weave through the thread of the story, including the first character, and trying to find out if they were based on actual folks.
Gus is a pretty big departure from the person that he's based on. Gus is based on an early settler called Sandy Gaston, and one of the mountains in the area is named after him, Sandy Mountain. Sandy, was in fact not a trapper but a prospector, and he did die from an injury, but it was a different injury and for different reasons.
Right.
He was much older, and so I really just used the idea of an accident in the bush as a basis for this. And there were other things that I wanted to tell. I wanted to tell about the early Mennonite settlers, and
yes,
so I wanted to see what would happen if somebody like Gus was, you know, it was very alone and very lonely in a community with not a lot of people and certainly not a lot of women, were to meet a young woman who was married, and what that might have felt like to him.
It's interesting too, you mentioned the Mennonite settlers, and you cover a lot of ground over the years and the things that happened in Bear Creek or in the fictionalized version of Renata, but you also pull in all kinds of things that are happening across Canada and other parts of the world too, the suffragette movement and of course the war and the impact that has.
Oh, I love Canadian history, and I'm a bit of a Google addict, or whatever search engine you choose to use, but so what would happen is if I was writing in a particular time, I would go and look at timelines and find out what else was happening at that time, and if I felt that you know, because although, you know, Renata was an isolated community and Bear Creek is an isolated community, the outside world would have had an impact. Mm-hmm. People would have known what was going on.
I was particularly struck by the segment of the story where the war bride is traveling on the train and she can't remember what her husband looks like and she can't speak English and can't really communicate too well and then doesn't know if he's going to show up. And just that image of her traveling across what looks like a fairly forsaken country to her at that point really seemed, I don't know, it seemed to me that, oh, that's an interesting perspective to see all that from.
Oh, thank you. I'm glad you liked the story. That one actually is the most real, the most true of any of the stories in the book. There actually was a war bride who actually did sit in the train station for a couple of days, maybe not quite a couple of days, but for some time, because in fact, her husband had hitched a ride on the ferry boat, which did in fact sink. And there is such a photograph of four men standing, looking like they're standing in the middle of the lake, but they're standing on the roof of the boat.
Oh, my heavens.
And he did eventually make it. There is, my favorite line in the book is actually in that story. It's like a run-on sentence, but I felt it captured the kind of panic and exhaustion that she must have been feeling at that time. That really struck my imagination. And I so wanted to talk to her, but she is in a senior's home, and her daughter felt that she was too confused and that it wouldn't be a good idea to talk to her.
Right.
So I didn't talk to her directly, but...
But you had the record.
Yeah. And actually, besides Google, my other favorite thing in the world is interlibrary loan, being a good librarian.
Of course.
And I was able to find, through interlibrary loan, an entire book of Dutch war bride stories published in Ontario. And so things about her story and things about the experiences of the other girls coming across in the train, those are pulled, not exactly, but... You know, that sparked my imagination for the kinds of things that could have happened.
You mentioned that the novel is also, in fact, a series of linked stories. And the character of Ursula Hartman, she's the first child born in Bear Creek, and she's there right through one of the big threads that flows through. Is Ursula based on anybody?
No, she's not.
She's totally fictionalized.
She's a composite of strong women that I know, strong women who are know their minds, but are also soft and compassionate, and all of those things all wrapped into one. You know, maybe Ursula is how I wish that I could be. You know, maybe Ursula is the person that I'd like to become.
You strive to become, right?
Yeah, maybe not when she was 10, but maybe later.
And you, how many characters do you have in this book? Have you ever counted how many fully formed characters you have here?
No, you know, I haven't. I started out with I have a lot of computer files about this book, and one of them says characters.doc, and I started out keeping track of everybody and how old they were and when they were born and all of those things, and I kind of lost track after a while, although I did have a good friend that was sort of fact-checking and making sure everyone was the right age at the right time, because it gets confusing.
Yeah.
I don't know how many characters there are.
Because you have come up with a lot of very, very alive people that flourish on the pages of this book.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, it's a lot of investing into all these different characters.
When I was writing a character, I lived and breathed it for a period of time, especially if it was one character's story as opposed to several in the story. Thinking of the story of the 9-year-old boy in the snowstorm, you know, where I'd walk quite a bit, and I have a dog that I walk, or I just walk alone, but I do a lot of walking, and I'll be completely immersed in that character and thinking about it until it starts to, I start to hopefully get inside that character. And so I guess that process worked, or it worked sometimes anyway.
You know what I can't understand? As a reader, I found it hard sometimes at the end of a section. I want to know more about what happened right then. How, as a writer, did you stop yourself at the end of each of these segments and move ahead through time and pick up the next thread?
Well, here's the honest truth. I wrote these as a series of short stories because the idea of a larger narrative arc of a novel terrified me. I mean, I'm new at this, right? You know, I've been writing for a long time, but I haven't been writing fiction. It's what I've always aspired to write. And so I set out with this book to learn how to write short stories. I had a fabulous mentor, Verna Relkoff, and she took me through the stories and explained what was working and what wasn't, and I did my best to learn and take that into the next story. So I saw it as a series of standalone stories. It didn't really it didn't feel like a novel, I guess, till I got to the very end and realized that, in fact, what I had was a larger story. It wasn't hard to leave them because I would live and breathe the story and then I'd start another one as a very separate thing.
Right.
Although Donna Morrissey, in her lovely lilting Newfoundland voice, said to me, she said, when I read the galley, she said, I couldn't figure out what the heck you were doing, killing your first character.
I know, exactly. How bold is that?
I know. It's the community that carries on, not necessarily the characters.
That's right, and that is the community, the landscape plays such a huge role in all of these stories. You get such a feeling of the place and the connection of the characters to that place, which of course makes it so sad when the place goes underwater.
And I guess that's kind of the connection I feel to my hometown. Such a connection to the landscape, and such a connection also to the fabric that is the community. And it's kind of ineffable because it's the accumulation of all of those lives and all of those incidents and people that come and go and what they lend to that community that builds this unique thing that you couldn't replicate anywhere else.
Right. But the stories live on.
But the stories live on and on and on. And in fact, even with Renata, which is underwater, and those people, they do have a reunion every 2 years.
Huh.
You know, and the stories do live on. And I hope that, although this is Bear Creek and not Renata, that in some way this perpetuates that that sense of community and connection to the land.
Anne Grace Nelson, author Anne Grace, we're talking about her novel Treading Water, published by MacArthur and Company. And Anne is in the Okanagan. She's going to be at the Vertigo Gallery in Vernon this morning doing a workshop on publishing, all various aspects of publishing. And then she's going to be doing a signing at Bookland in Vernon. That starts at 11 o'clock this morning. That's Anne de Grace at Bookland in Vernon, starting at 11 o'clock this morning, right after her workshop this morning at the Vertigo Gallery.